All right, so this morning we are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 7 through 21, so we're finishing the chapter from yesterday. Today's reading is pretty strong, pretty pointed from Paul. This whole chapter really is, and the verse that really jumped out at me is verse 10. It says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in dispute." And when we peel back the onion on this verse a little bit, there's an idea that really speaks to me inside of here. When he says we are fools for Christ's sake, when you look at various translations and look at the interlinear literal translation, I really am thinking that Paul is communicating here. He's saying we, meaning he and his teaching cohort that are writing to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, and that we're there to communicate to them, that he's saying that we live a life that kind of goes like this: yes, God, now what do you want me to do? Versus the life the Corinthians are living, which sounds a little bit more like, what do you want me to do, God? And that way I can kind of consider it before I say yes or no. So in another way, you could say that Paul is a fool for Christ in that he's fully bought in, right? He's got a blank check that he's written and handed over to Christ. Or you could use Carrie Underwood's words from her famous song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." You could use a driving analogy. In Paul's world, Paul is in the passenger seat, Jesus is in the driver's seat, and he's going wherever Jesus takes him. Whereas most of us live a life where we're in the driver's seat and we're looking over and asking God, asking Christ, where do you want us to go? But we still have our hands on the wheel. And there's a subtle difference between the two of those, but the subtle difference is a heart issue. Do you trust God enough to say, God, yes, now what are you asking me to do? That's a hard question. That's the question that I'm left with reading this is, do I trust God enough to say, yes, what would you have me do? Versus, tell me what to do. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me consider it. And then I'll let you know if I'm all in. And then Paul goes on and he says that he is weak and they are strong, that he's disrespected and shamed, and that they're honored. And what he's saying is not by God weak, but he's saying that in this world, in the culture that the Corinthians, the Corinthian church finds itself in, which is there in Corinth, in that Greek culture, Paul is being disrespected and shamed, but he doesn't care. We talked about that yesterday. He doesn't care that he's not looked up to by the culture and by the society. He's weak in that sense, right? He's weak in that he is relying on Christ to give him the strength, and he's relying on himself none. Because following this, or I think right before this, he talks about everything I have was given to me anyway, so I am nothing, right? So he is weak, and because he is weak, he really is God strong, because all of his strength is God's. Whereas the Corinthians, just like they're sitting in the driver's seat, they are also not letting God, since they're not letting God drive, they're also not capturing God's strength. They're strong in themselves, but they're weak in God's strength. And when you compare the bench press of God's strength to the Corinthian strength, there's no competition, right? So the Lord's Prayer, if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer actually has this idea embedded in it. And this is something I'm working through with my daughter, so it's fresh on my mind. But the Lord's Prayer kind of goes like this. It says, "Our Father in heaven, let the glory be to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, it's saying, God, you are God. I am not. You are in control. You made the world. You deserve all the glory. You've given me everything I have. You can take it away in a moment. I know that you have a plan for my life, and I just pray that I would have the wisdom to get a glimpse of it and the courage to come alongside of you in your mission, in your vision, while I'm here on this earth. And I know my best shot for real joy in this life is that. It's coming alongside of the mission that you've given my life. And that's an awesome prayer. That's the same as saying, Jesus, take the wheel, or Jesus, yes. Now, what would you have me do? So Paul is giving us another great example of trusting God, letting go and letting God. And he requests at the end of this that we be imitators of him as he imitates Christ. And again, it's just another great example of Paul leading the way for us.